you notice when you sit down, which many of you, if not all of you, did this week, to the Thanksgiving dinner? And before that, you're all talking and connecting and catching up, and then everybody starts to eat, and there's a dead silence in the room. Yeah, that's what we're going through right now. We cut the music off. We weren't quite ready, and so here we are. But we love you guys. Thanks for being here. How's everybody doing? Yeah, we talked last week in the transition about being so thankful, and we have so much to be thankful for. And we were reminded about that this week once again, just how grateful we are, how good God is to all of us. And so we have so much to be thankful for, not the least of which is we live in a free nation. Amen?
Amen.
Wow, praise the Lord. So I'm trying to think where I want to go with this. And so I've been asking the Lord when I come up on the pulpit today, Lord, where am I supposed to start this? We have things a little bit different today in a very good way. So I'm just going to say this. All of you are aware, we're hosting today Pastors Pete and Tammy Logan from Fountain of Life Ministry. We are, you know, so would you give them a welcome, first of all? Here they are. Here comes Brother Pete. Most of you know them. Some of you will be new friends to them today. And so we are so honored to have them here today. We are ordained through them, through their ministry. And also Pastor Pete is one of our presbyters, and he'll be bringing the word of the Lord today. And we spent some time together last night, and looking forward to today as well. We'll be meeting with the leadership. We'll be having lunch with them and hosting them, and then they'll head back to their abode down in Dauphin and Lancaster County. They live there on the border. But we're so glad to have you with us today. We're so blessed, and we've had so many ministry opportunities through the years, not only here in the state, but overseas. We've connected with them on many overseas trips to different places in the globe, and they continue to be connected and engaged in those places. Sorry. In Mexico and in the Philippines and in South Africa and Mozambique and different places. And so God has really given them a heart for the kingdom of God. And frankly, that's our role. Remember, we are, as believers, to be kings and priests to our God. Amen. And we are to serve Him in any capacity, in any way in which He calls us. That's our calling. And it's a blessing to be able to do that. So we're so glad to have you all with us today. But especially repeating Tammy, once again, we welcome you. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. In a moment, I'm going to pray, but I'm going to sing a song. But isn't it amazing that when you think of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and when He seemed to, by human terms, face the impossible, that He made all things possible. Even His arrival on this planet, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, she said, "How can this be, and that I'm a virgin? How can I conceive?" It didn't seem to make sense in human terms, and frankly, it didn't. But it didn't matter, because we weren't operating in human terms and the human realm. We were operating in God's realm. And the angel said to her, "With God, all things are possible." Amen? So we believe that. But it's funny. Every time that Jesus showed up for a funeral, all of a sudden it wasn't a funeral anymore. Did you notice that? When He came to the gates of Nain and they were carrying the widow's son out to the gates, He just stopped the procession. He's really good at stopping funerals and turning things around, and laid hands on the young man. He came back to life. And so the same with Lazarus. When He came and everybody was crying and weeping, that they were just pouring out their hearts for the sadness that they were experiencing. But Jesus began to weep, not because He didn't know what He was going to do. He was weeping at their unbelief. Here Jesus showed up, and here He is, ready to turn it around. And the most amazing time is when He went into the grave, the Father raised His body from the dead as well. Amen? So did you ever notice He's able to turn graves into gardens? And that's what we're going to sing in just a moment. When things seem impossible, when things seem like it could never get any worse, all of a sudden there is an answer when Jesus shows up. Amen? So God, we thank You for this day. God, we thank You for Your glory, Your amazing grace, Your kindness, Your goodness. Father, You are so good to us as a nation. We give You thanks once again. This is a week of Thanksgiving. And Father, we give it back to You by pouring out our praise from the breath that You've given us each and every day. And God, thank You, Father, You can turn every seemingly impossible circumstance around, because with God, all things are possible. God, thank You. You are the God who turns graves into gardens. And it's You we worship today in spirit and in truth. We thank You in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, come on. Let's get into this song. We're here to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The world, but it
treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's to show you my weakness. You know, there's so many stories that we hear each week. I think one of the greatest ones that I always think, man, how cool will that have been? How awesome to be right when God parted that sea. All the emotions that you would be searching through in your mind, like, oh man, is it really going to stay back? I can't sing and play at the same time, or talk and play at the same time. How awesome that would have been. I know I've said this before, but how that sticks out to me the most. There's many things I would have loved to have been a part of, but that one, just seeing the water part, seeing that part and walking through, and that's what we just sang. You turn seas into highways. Amen. What has God turned as a sea into a highway for you that we were able to walk through? Amen. Does that excite you this morning? Because that certainly excites me this morning. Give him praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
I see heaven invading the
I don't understand.
can only come from the Spirit of God. There's nothing like it on the earth. There is nothing like it to experience the power of God, to hear His voice, to know Him. God, it would be my prayer this morning, God, that You would just come and meet every person right where they're at. God, we need a revival in our hearts. And everything that we do and everything that we say, everything that we are, comes from that relationship within and that unity with the Spirit of God. Lord, I long to be revived. I long to have that passion burn in my heart again. It's not fabricated. It's not man-made. Give up on humanity, that You never stop loving us, You never turn Your back. God, I'm thankful that You're patient with us. Holy Spirit, would You just come in this place? Would You just come and anoint the very words that You spoke as they come forth this morning. Lord, I pray that You put such a dissatisfaction in our hearts for the mundane and the mediocrity. And God, that You would just light our hearts on fire. And I'm talking about passion to pursue You and You alone. For the results of the last election. I'm thankful, God, that You watch to see what Your people would do and how they would respond to evil overtaking our nation. There were many nations counting on America. There were many nations counting on the state of Pennsylvania. God, I would ask Your protection over our president and over the cabinet that He's chosen and people that will be serving Him. And I pray, God, that You would continue, God, to reveal those that are dishonest and that have been bought out. And God, that You would do a clean sweep in our governmental positions all the way down to school boards, township supervisors, judges, mayors, city councils, governors, and all of those positions, God, that really, you know, You designed government, You designed us, You designed there to be a rank and file. God, I'm thankful for Donald J. Trump, that he stayed faithful. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he does it. But I'm thankful, God, that the man has answered the call on his life. God, I pray for everyone in this house to just say yes to the call on your life. It's no less important. It's just different. I want to pray for Mary this morning. She's not much better. I talked to Chris before I came up here. And Lord, we would just ask a special touch on Mary right now in the name of Jesus. God, I cancel any assignment of hell on her body. And I call it into alignment with the healing, God, that You paid the price for us to have. I pray, God, that You would touch her and minister to her right now, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Will you greet someone this morning? If you're sick, again, don't do it. Just put your hand up.
All right. Well, again, we are just honored and privileged to have Pete and Tammy with us today. Just so, they mean so much to this church. We had spent some time here together in a very somber note when Tammy's mom, Helen, passed away a number of months ago. And we are honored that even though she was living down near them and they had family up here, that Lifetree was able to host that that time of gathering together. And for the believer, simply death means resurrection. Amen? Absolutely, and absolutely it is. And we need to be so encouraged by that, to be absent from the body for the believer is to be present with the Lord. And so I want to encourage you, as Paul said, encourage one another with these words. Amen? So as I mentioned at the outset of the service today, Pastor Sherry and I, and sometimes Sarah, has gone along with some of those trips overseas in distant lands, and we've been so blessed by getting to know them not only here locally but overseas, and just really it's always a pleasure to sit under their ministry as we go to those places. We're so encouraged by that. And so when we began to reform our government here a number of years ago, Pastor Pete Logan agreed to be one of our presbyters, and also Phil Capuccio, who Pete and Tammy introduced us to many years ago, probably 14 years ago. I remember Dave was there and Tim was there, and a number of us went down, and we were there in Hershey when Phil Capuccio was ministering. So my point is, this is amazing how God knits the body together and how he has a future and destiny for every believer. And he actually has a calling upon every church. And so, again, if you would know more about the ministry they're involved in, I've only given you a thumbnail version of how heavily they're involved in different ministries and just powerful, outreaching things for the kingdom of God. And so we're blessed by that. So, Brother Pete, today we've asked you to bring the word of the Lord today, and we're just going to bless you as you do that. So, God, please stand. God, we thank you. All stand. God, we thank you for this day, and God, we thank you once again for the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Word of God. And God, we declare as a body of believers your anointing and your blessing upon Pastor and Brother Pete as he comes to bring the word of the Lord to us today. May our hearts and minds be open. And as it was with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, our heart would begin to burn. Would begin to burn within us when we begin to hear the word of the Lord preached through the power of the Holy Ghost. We bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please Amen. Be seated, Brother Pete.
Right. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Amen. Good to see a lot of you that I've known in the past and some of the new faces. Bring greetings from Middletown, Pennsylvania, is where Fountain of Life Church is. It was founded there about 35 years ago. And Tammy and I have been the pastors there for the last 24 years. We were kind of tricked into it. I had just sold my business, and I had retired. And the pastor there felt of the Lord to ask me to come alongside. I said, I'll try it out. I'll come on part of your board for the year and see what happens. Well, within that year, the Lord called him away, and the church asked us At that time, it was still affiliated with the Mennonite Church. So the Mennonite bishop came in, and he said, Pete, he says, they want you to serve. I said, well, I said, if it's God, I'll do it. I'm not going to say no to God. How many know? We know enough not to say no to God. And so we said, okay, well, we're going to take a vote. And we normally, if you can get like 60%, you're doing good. And I said, no, 60%. He said, well, how about 70? I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. 100%. I want everybody's vote yes, and then I'll do it. And so he came down. I was down in the office, and he came down shaking his head. He says, I've never seen it happen. You got 100%. And I knew there were people in that congregation that didn't like me. I thought I had a sure thing. You know, I set up the bishop. But how many know you can't set God up? You think you're outsmarting God, and God just has a way of showing you who God really is. And he has a way of orchestrating things for your life, even when you are kicking against it sometimes. But what a blessing it is. I'd just like to open in a word of prayer, if that's okay. Father, thank you today that we can be here. I thank you, Lord, for Life Tree Church. And Lord, all the history in which we've known. And I thank you, God, that today I am standing on this platform. And these people, Lord, are sitting in this congregation. And Lord, we are still praising you. We are still worshiping you. We are still exalting you as our Lord. And we continue to do so. I thank you, God, for this church, Lord. I thank you, God, that for all that you're doing and all that you've done, Lord. What a wonderful congregation, Lord. And I pray today, God, that just as your promise is, when there's two or more of us gathered in your name, you are here in our midst. And God, that's what I stand upon today. I stand upon your presence, God. It's nothing about me or anyone else. I stand upon your presence today. And Lord, I thank you today for your word. You said the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. And I pray for life to flow here at Life Tree today. In the wonderful name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Don and Cheryl and the leadership, God. God, I just ask, I ask that your blessing on them. Everybody, congregation, help me. Just say, Lord, bless Don and Cheryl. Lord, bless the eldership in the name of Jesus. Bless this church, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, give them the strength and the courage and the revelation to rise up and be the people of God you called them to be, oh God. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, Pastor Don mentioned about a few trips that we took together. And I remember one trip, we were going down to Mexico. I remember my back was out. And we connected in Houston, and I could hardly even walk. And I'm looking, I'm saying, okay, if I can just make it up to there, if I can just... And Pastor Don says, you know what? Nobody's going to think bad of you. Why don't you just stay here, right? We'll get you a hotel. You know, it's bad, it's bad. And I said, no, Don, just help me. Remember? And you don't remember that. So we finally get to Mexico, and we meet up with Pastor Octavio, our good friend, and he realizes my back is sore. And I said, yeah, just take us to the hotel. And he said, well, I can do that. He said, but the first service starts in about a half hour. And I was thinking of just getting to the hotel and just, you know, sleeping it off. So we freshen up and we go to the church service, and it's still like really bothering me bad. And so I figured, okay, what's the first night starting a conference? We'll finish early. I'll get back to the room and sleep again, right? You can tell where my mind was. I just wanted to lay down. And so I kind of closed it up, and everybody was kind of like, wow, that's it? And so Pastor Octavio goes up, and he says, well, he says, Spirit of the Lord is on Pastor Pete, and he has a ministry of healing. So if you need healed, just come on up, and he will lay hands on you. You remember that? And my back is killing me. I'm thinking, I just want to go to sleep. I just want to go to bed. And so everybody starts coming up. And the first person that came up, he said, pray for me. I says, I'm going in. This week, I have to have surgery on my back. I prayed for him, and guess what happened? He was instantly healed, and so was I. So was I. Right? But, and all along, if I would have done what I wanted to do, go back into bed, I would have woke up the next morning with the same problem. You see, stepping into what God's doing ushers in the blessing, ushers in the fullness of what God has for us. It's a way that we lay hold of things of God by stepping into them. And what that was a great trip, and we're blessed to be there. And there have been many other trips we could talk about. But this morning, I just want to come, before I get into the message, I want to just share. The Lord has really brought my heart to a place of understanding true thanksgiving. You know, it's good to be around thankful people. Don't you like being around people that are thankful, that don't just take things for granted, don't just, you know, take what they can, and there's never any thanks that comes forth. And so we've all experienced some of that. But a lot of times the people of God are like that towards God. But thanksgiving is extremely important in our lives for us to give thanks to God. And I was reading in Revelations for just a refreshing time. I've read it many times. Revelations chapter 4, it's John's vision that God gave him around the throne. And all this incredible stuff was happening. But he said around the throne, there were these four living creatures. And every time they praised God and gave thanks, everyone around the throne fell down and began to worship and praise God, say, "You are worthy, you are worthy." So what was the trigger to what was happening around that time that John saw the vision of the throne was when they began to give thanks unto the Lord. It moved heaven. It moved heaven. I'm telling you, when we understand the opportunity and we understand the positioning of ourselves in a true heart thanksgiving to God, you move heaven. And not only that, when heaven starts moving, guess what starts shaking down here below? You know, Acts 16, we know when Paul and Silas were in prison and they were thrown in the deepest dungeon and they had the least hope to ever get out of this prison situation. And it said that it was the midnight hour and they began to just praise and worship the Lord. And everybody could hear it. And the next thing you know, when that thanksgiving to God came forth, all of a sudden, the place began to shake. All of a sudden, the things fell off. The chains fell off. The shackles fell off. The doors flew open, right? And out they walked, you know, totally free, set free. And as the story goes on, they weren't just worried about themselves. When they stepped out, the jailer was ready to kill himself. Because whenever anybody would escape from the jail, it would cost the jailer's life. So he was ready to kill himself. And Paul said, "Don't do that. Don't harm yourself. Don't worry. We're not going anywhere. We're here for you." You see, Paul, in the midst of giving that praise and that thanksgiving and offering that to Lord and putting his eyes on the Lord and thanking him, he wasn't worried about his situation. He wasn't saying, "Oh, God, what are we going to do? Thanks a lot, God. This is the thanks I get. You know, here I went to church, I put my money in the offering, and this happened to me." You know, no. In the midst of that, he wasn't thanking God that he was in jail. He was thanking God for who God was. He was thanking God because God is worthy of praise at all times, no matter what the situation is. You don't realize the power and the pathway to victory that you lay when you begin to give thanks and honor and praise to God in the midst of whatever the situation is. You can turn graves into garden, absolutely. But he doesn't do it by wallowing in his sorrow. He does it by standing up and saying, "Thank you, God, that you are the resurrection and the life. And though I die, yet I shall live, Lord, because of your presence within me." Amen? And he began to worship and began to think. You know, all of these things that we want to lay hold of in the kingdom of God. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and we enter his courts with praise. We got to be thankful people. Thankful. It's easy to sit there and think, "Oh yeah, but this didn't happen and that didn't happen." I remember a man that I respect in the ministry years ago when they asked him, what is some of the things that you do to raise up your leadership? He says, "First thing I do," he says, I change their thinking pattern. And I get them to stop thinking about what God isn't doing, and I get them to start thinking about what God is doing. There's many things in here we'd like to see God do. I mean, every one of us, I bet you I can go around the room and say, well, I'm hoping God will do this. I'm praying God will do this. Well, today, let's just focus on what God is doing. Because then you have yourself now on a path to where he can bring you to the place of victory, to the place in which that which you desire can come forth, to the place in which your faith now is bringing you into the enthusiasm of God, so that now you can be one that, as Peter said, we are a peculiar people, we are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people called to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And let's be thankful to God. In fact, right now, every one of you, please stand up. Come on. And I want you to do a thanksgiving exercise. Hebrews says that we can offer a sacrifice of praise. Then he goes on to say, which is the fruit of my lips, giving thanks to God. See, that's a sacrifice of praise. And it's a sacrifice. The reason why he says sacrifice is, even if I don't feel like doing it, I'm going to do it. Even if it costs me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a sacrifice of praise today. And I'm going to choose to do it because I know God deserves it, whether I feel like it or not. And I begin to thank God. Raise your hands up like this and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God. Thank you for all that you are. Thank you for saving our lives, God. Thank you for paying the price of our sin. That when we were without hope, God, you came and you died for us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for my family. Thank you for those around me. Thank you for my church, oh God. Thank you for my pastor, oh God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Doesn't that feel good? Thank you, God. I'm telling you, it moves heaven. It moves the heavenlies. It changes the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. It changes your life. When you can be thankful to God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You saved my soul, oh God. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this nation you've given us, God. Thank you, Lord, for those who paid the price before us, God. Thank you, Lord. But the greater price you paid on the cross of Calvary, we thank you, God, that you've given us revelation. Thank you, God, that somehow, some way you broke into our lives, Lord, and shed your love abroad in our hearts and gave us revelation and vision, Lord, that we can know the things pertaining to your kingdom. God, that we can be part of the people of God. One time we weren't part of anyone, but now we're the people of God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now let's just give them a clap offering. Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You know, I've had opportunity just recently to even put that into real practice. I was recently with a lady. You can all be seated if you'd like. I was recently with a lady that was called at midnight before Thanksgiving, so that would have been Wednesday night, a little bit after midnight. One of their friends saw her 22-year-old son severely wreck his car, like a half mile from their house. So she got in to her car and drove down there quickly. She was the first one on the scene. And it was a terrible, terrible scene. And here he was laying there. And I said, man, so what did you do? I said, here, you're the mom, and you come into this situation. I said, how'd you hold it together? And She says, well, she says, I just went over and I checked his pulse and I began to pray for him. I put pressure on the wounds. I said, wow, how did you do that? And then she just burst into tears. And it was so traumatic for her. It was such a, you know, and her countenance was so down. And this is when the Lord brought this back to my mind. This is where this idea of thanksgiving came out of me. I said, you know, I said, thank God you still have him. Thank God he's alive. Thank God, because if you would see the pictures of this thing, it's only the hand of God that he survived. And I said, you know what can be a release to you? You know what can be a healing to you? I said, let's just begin to thank God right now for saving his life. And she began, we're in the ICU waiting room where they just took him into emergency surgery. And we both began to thank God. And I'm telling you, heaven moved. The atmosphere of that room that was full of death and sorrow came alive as the thanksgiving of God went forth. I'm telling you, it's a real thing, people. It's important that we learn to live thankful lives to God. There's a lot of things we can be thankful for outside of God, but there's nothing like being thankful to God. Because it like I said, it shakes the heavens. It changes the atmosphere. It changes your life. It puts you in position to see and hear the things of God like you never could before, being thankful to God. So praise God. He went through his surgery. He had his spine all reconstructed. He had lacerations in most of his internal organs. And praise God. The young man's alive. We knew him since he was this high. And he's 22 years old. His name is Hunter. So if you can pray for Hunter, severe, critical, it's going to be a long journey for him in recovery. But I'm praying that God would even speed that up. Amen? But thank God his life was saved. Thank God your life was saved. You may be sitting here today and feeling you're in a bad place or things have happened, you know, a tough time or whatever. But I'm telling you, thank God that you're sitting here. Thank God that you have the opportunity to hear the word of God. Thank God that you're alive and you have the ability to choose him. Thank God for the revelation that he brings to you, that in the midst of whatever the circumstance is, you're able to experience God. Amen? Amen. So praise God. I got so many things I can preach on today, but I'm going to see where this leads us. Praise God. Genesis chapter 12. Abraham was called to come out from his hometown. Come out, Abraham, come out. And he says, I'm going to bring you to the land that is yours. Land flowing with milk and honey. And he made a promise to him. I will bless you. And through you, the nations, all the people of the world will be blessed. What an awesome promise God gave him. If you just be willing to step aside, Abraham, or at that time his name was Abram, from that which you know, if you'd be willing to separate yourself from the things of the world and say yes to my call and purpose of your life, you're going to be blessed beyond what you could ever, ever imagine, Abram. Will you do that? And the Bible tells us that upon this word, upon the promise of God, Abram stepped out. Abraham stepped out. Galatians 3:13 tells us that by faith, that promise that was made to Abraham is yours. Say it with me. Abraham, your promise is mine. God promises that he's going to bless you. And that through you, the nations of the world, the people, wherever you go, will be blessed. I remember years ago, we were at a prophetic conference. And Tammy and I went into this room and there's all these different people. I think it was at Bethel. But all these different people were around us prophesying. And the lady, she says, I don't know. She says, this is kind of weird. But I see you like Snoopy sitting on the doghouse. And she says, no, it's a barn. It's a barn. You're sitting on a barn. And this barn gets up and flies everywhere like Snoopy does in his doghouse. And wherever it lands, it just brings blessing. Well, our church was an old barn that was converted into a church. And she began to say, and I feel you're in the middle. You're in the middle of something. I said, well, we live in Middletown. Or the church is in Middletown. And the prophetic word of the Lord went forth to where you're going to go to different nations, and where you land, you're going to be able to bless the people that are there. And we went forth then. We went home, and we said, okay, Lord. And the prophetic word that came forth, actually I'm putting two of them together now. Actually, Phil Capuccio was part of this one. They said that God's going to send you to Africa, South America, and Asia, right? I said, okay, great, God. I'm ready for it whenever you decide. So we got our passports. And there was a man, we were doing, I know this is a lot of story, but anyway, I started it, I got to tell you. There was a man that we hadn't seen in about 15 years anyway. I was doing a funeral. And this man knew the family and walked in and saw me there. And the last time he saw me, I was in business. I was a businessman. And he said, what in the world? Pete Logan, what are you doing? And I said, God called me out of business, kind of set me up in this place. And here I am as a pastor. And I said, I just went to this conference, and God said he's going to send me to Africa. And he said, what? What are you talking? Stop right there. He says, God says he's going to send you to Africa. He says, you know where I live, Pete? He said, I live in Africa. And he said, I really felt to invite you to come. So God set it up. So we went to Africa. And it just began to open from there. And then I got a call. Hey, we got this conference of these tribal pastors in Philippines. And they need a speaker. Can you come along and speak? And I said, well, is that in Asia? I'd never been to Philippines then. He said, well, Southeast Asia. I said, oh, I'm in. I'm going. Don't you want to know anything about it? Nope. Just tell me when the plane leaves and away we go, because God says go there. And God began to set up all these different things. And that's how God works. God begins to, when you make yourself available to God, and when you realize that it's God's plan, not yours, and you're willing to step into it, then God begins to move in a great way. And you know, stepping into things, and that's what Abram did. He just said, Lord, okay. He stepped out. So Abram stepped out of Ur. He stepped out of Haran. He stepped out on the promises of God. But I'm asking you this morning, what are you stepping out on? Those same promises that God gave Abraham, as a scripture I gave you, are yours by faith. And the question is, what are you stepping out on? What are you putting your hope in? What are you putting your trust in? What are you willing to sow your life to? What are you stepping out on? Abram stepped out on that, on the promise of God. And look at what it did for Abram. He became a mighty nation. You know, all the promises that God gave him came forth. But he had to step out. Deuteronomy 11 and Joshua chapter 1, the Lord told his people there, he says, everywhere you place the sole of your foot, it will be yours. So you see, your walk is what lays hold of the promise. You can have promise. You can have a word given over you. You can hear the Lord speak to you, promises and promises. But until you get up and start walking it out, it will lay dormant. It will just sit there. It's a great promise. It's from God. You're blessed to hear God. But if you want to lay hold of that promise, you got to start walking it out. You got to put feet to your faith. You know, there was a story that was told to me, and I'm going to try to remember it. I don't know why I'm telling you all these stories today, but I'm going to try to remember this story. You know, Niagara Falls isn't too far from here, right? And you know that big, there's a guy that walks a tightrope across it, whatever. Well, the story is that there's a whole bunch of people there watching him, and they're like, wow, is he gonna be able to walk across Niagara Falls on this wire, you know, on a tightrope? And there he goes. He walks across, turns around and walks back. And everybody's like, wow, that's amazing. Can't believe you're doing that. That's crazy. You see that? And they're all like, and the next thing you know, the man gets a wheelbarrow and puts the wheelbarrow on the wire, and he says to the people, he says, what do you think? Can I do this? You're like, yeah, sure, you can do it. We saw you walk across. You can do it. You can push that wheelbarrow across there. No problem. He says, you really believe it? He says, okay, well, get in. Get in the wheelbarrow. Do you really believe it? Then get in. And oftentimes, we let our belief sit there instead of being activated. It's not a works program. But like James says, faith without what? Works is dead. That means if there's faith in there, there's going to be an action. And all of heaven, in fact, all of earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the scripture tells us. There's so much waiting upon you stepping into your purpose and your call and what God empowers you to do that you wouldn't believe what can be done. You know, God has put in you the kingdom of heaven. Jesus even said, hey, the kingdom of heaven is within you. He said, some might say, go there. Don't do that. For the kingdom of heaven is within you. Do you believe it? Do you believe the kingdom is within you? But you say, well, you know, there's a lot of other stuff there. Well, that's true. There is a lot of stuff there. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb that covers my sin. Thank God that mercy triumphs over judgment. But I want you to know a little secret. If you'll just activate that kingdom within you, it will push all the other out of the way. That none of that, there's so many things that excuses we can have that I could be a more godly person if I didn't have this, if I didn't have that. I want you to know the Bible tells us that everything pertaining to life and godliness has been given to you. There's nothing you've got to do. There's no change in your life that you've got to do to be more godly if you have Jesus Christ in you. If he is your Savior, you're as godly as you're going to get. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, I do this. I got this secret thing behind there. I do all of it. Jesus knows all of that. And his blood is paid for it. But if you'll simply just step out in faith and begin to walk out that new life and live out that kingdom within you, all of that stuff will fall aside. That's what happened to me. I never converted because religion told me I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this. That you need to do this, you need to do that. That never worked for me. What brought forth the conversion in my life is I begin to seek the Lord with my whole heart. The Bible says you seek him with your heart, you'll find him. And you begin to seek the Lord. And the more you seek him, the more that other stuff, like Paul says, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient or profitable. Right? Lord, I get my eyes on you. I want you. This, yeah, that's tempting, but you know what? It's not worth giving up you. It's not worth it, Lord. I want you. I want your presence in my life. I want your anointing. I want your peace. I want your joy. I want your fulfillment, Lord. I believe that there's no better life for me than what you have for me. You're my creator, Lord, and I trust you, and I desire, and that's where I'm heading. And that's where my focus is. And that's why it says to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But Abram stepped out by faith. It says it was faith. Because of Abraham's faith, he was made righteous. And he believed God, and he was made righteous. And the same with us. If we would just believe and step out in the things of God, then that would change and turn things around quite a bit. Ephesians 2:1. I'm going to get on with this. I don't even know what. Okay, it's 11:19. Ephesians 2, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. It says, and you he made alive. Come on. Did he make you alive? Anybody can celebrate that? He made alive when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Boy, that sounds ugly. You know? It really does. But thank God he made us alive. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for his good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, walk in them. You see, we were without hope. We were lost. We were dead in our sin. But thank God we've been made alive in Christ Jesus. Thank God it wasn't me that did it. It wasn't you that did it. It was by grace alone, right? Through faith in Christ. It's not of your works, right? It's not a works program. But he goes on to say that we are his workmanship, that he's working in us, and we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, okay? What are good works? Good works are works of God, okay? There's no one good but God. God's work is the good work. And he says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That word walk means to make one's way or progress, right? But it also means to make proper use of opportunities. When it says there that we should walk in them, it's saying that we should make proper use of the opportunity given to us. There's so much opportunity given to you in Christ Jesus. It has nothing to do with what you have done on your own. It has nothing to do with how good you've been or how much you know or how much Bible knowledge you have stored up in your head. You know, it has to do with you understanding what Christ has done for you and who you are in him. It's about your identity. You once were this. It says we once were serving the flesh. Now we're serving God. Now we're God's people. Now we've been born again, not of my own will, but by the will of God. And now I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. And here it says that there are good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that we should take the opportunity. You know, one night it was like 11 o'clock at night, it was late, and I had to stop and get something at a local grocery store. And I went to the grocery store and they had no checkouts open. Everything was self-checkout. Now, I used to have a thing against that. They raised the price of the grocery, right? And they won't put me through a regular line where somebody, you know, checks me out and bags my groceries and puts them in the cart. And I, you know, they raise the price, but they lower the service, right? I was like, I don't like that. I had this attitude with that. So here it was 11 o'clock at night, and that's all it was open. So I go up to check out, and guess what? The thing doesn't work. I'm, you know, boop, da boop, da boop, you know. You need help, whatever it says on that thing. I know I need help. And I had a terrible attitude. It was 11 o'clock at night. I didn't want to be there. And the last thing I want to do is stand in front of this machine and hear it beep, 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 beep. You know, make sure you put the thing in the bag. Or, you know, wait for help. Or beep, beep, going off. And I'm about ready to smack this thing. And my attitude was obvious. And there was a lady there. There wasn't too many working. A lady was far away. And she came running over. Just a minute, sir. I'm so sorry. Just a minute, sir. Just a minute, sir. Calm down. It'll be okay. Just a minute, sir. Just a minute, sir. And so she fixes it, right? And then shortly after that, I finished checking out, and I heard the voice of God say, I want you to ask her if she needs prayer for anything and invite her to church. I said, Lord, she just saw this grumpy old guy mad at the machine, right? And I had to disturb her from what she was doing and run over here, but yet you now want me, you know, to ask her for prayer and tell her how much you love her and invite her to church? He says, yeah. Guess what I did? As I started walking over, I said, I'm not going to tell her I'm a pastor. No way. I said, I don't want to be known in town as the grumpy pastor. I'm not going to do that. So sure enough, I went over and I said, how are you doing? I said, it's late at night and I'm sure, you know, you got kids at home. And the Lord gave me some things to say to her. And I said, you know, I don't know how to tell you this, but I'm really a pastor. And I want you to know God loves you. And I want to invite you to my church that I go to, that I attend, that I pastor. She goes, wow. She said, I was just talking today to my friend saying I just moved in the area. I need to find a church. And I said, well, here you go. Come to the church of the grumpy pastor. But I see you're in there all the time, and we have a relationship where I can talk with her and minister to her. And she works on Sunday morning, so she hasn't come to church yet. However, she believes that one day she's going to be there. But, you know, a lot of times we disqualify ourselves because of our attitudes. I'm like, who am I? I'm going to go tell this lady who's telling me to calm down, right? Because I'm a grumpy old guy mad at this machine, you know. Who am I to go tell her about you, Lord? It's not about me. It's about him. And it doesn't matter, you know, you can, like I said, I was in that place. I was grumpy. I didn't want to be there, and I wasn't nice to be around. But that didn't matter to God. Because it's not me that he's trusting in. It's he that's in me. It's what he's placed in me. And all I did was step out on that. Because I've learned a long time it's not about me. That I'm insufficient in myself. Apostle Paul said that too. My sufficiency is in myself. It's in Christ. And a lot of times we disqualify ourselves because we think, we don't meet the bill. You don't. But what's in you far succeeds anything necessary to accomplish it. There's revelation. That's why he taught his disciples, go out and tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What are you talking about? All we are is a bunch of fishermen and this and that. It's not about you. It's about what's been placed in you. It's the God in you. It's the kingdom of heaven that's within you. And as you're willing to allow it, as you're willing to walk it out, it doesn't matter where you start from. Abram started from Ur, which was a nation that worshipped, you know, idols and false gods and had all kinds of immorality going on. That's where his walk started. But he started believing God. He started out on a step of faith. What are you stepping out on today? I encourage you, don't step out on your own sufficiency. Don't step out on your own insecurity. You know, I can do this. You know, I might be able to do this. No, don't step out on that. Step out on, in Christ, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, we quote the verse, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I want you to know it is absolutely true. It is absolutely 100% true. Greater is he that's in you. And you can step out on the promise that God gave you, that in you and through you, the nations of the world would be blessed. You have a blessing to bring to people around you. But what we have to do when it says that we're created with the, you know, with the purpose of all these good works, that we should walk in them. It's just a matter of taking opportunity to step in them. And I was blessed. I was transformed from grumpy pastor to blessed believer. Right? Instantly when I began. It's like, wow, God, you know, what an opportunity I would have missed if I allowed the voice of disqualification to rule my life instead of the voice of the Holy Spirit that says it's okay. The blood of Jesus covers that. You're not disqualified anymore. So make proper opportunity, proper use of the opportunities God gives you. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," which means accurately, exactly, or diligently. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." You know what redeeming the time means there? It can actually be, the NIV transfers it, making the most of every opportunity. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Same verse in NIV. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So walking it out. Walking it out. Just like the young man laying beside the pool of Bethesda when the Lord said, "Take up your mat and walk." Here he was, crippled for 30 years or whatever it was. Instantly, because he got the unction to walk, all of a sudden he walked out his deliverance and his healing. See, there's things we got to walk out. You know, ever wonder why when the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 1, they were finally able to, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, to walk into the promised land. And the Lord told him, "Joshua, you know, tell your people to set themselves aside. I'm going to do mighty wonders in their midst." And therefore, they went forward. But when they got into the promised land, the manna ceased. When they were in the wilderness, "God, I need something to eat." God actually gave them food from heaven. Every day they walk out of the tent and there the food was. But now when they got in the promised land, where God promised them that they'd have all the fullness and they'd have the land flowing with milk and honey, the manna ceased. How many know there's a lot of people that wanted to protest that? "What do you mean the manna ceased?" Joshua said, "Look at the trees. Look at the harvest. It's white. Look at the beautiful land that we've got. Look at the opportunity you have. Get off your keister and go out there and pick some fruit off the tree." In America Church, I'm sorry, I guess I got to put it just the way I feel it. Get off your keisters and get out there and grab a hold of the fruit. We all need to step into, you know, thank God we're blessed and with this past election, like Pastor Sherry was sharing. Thank God for that. You know, we were blessed and things not going the way that they were intended them to go, the rulers of the world, but thank God for that. But what put us in that position in the first place was we didn't understand this truth, that our faith has to be walked out. Oftentimes we think that God saved us just so that we can have a normal life, and that's okay to think that when you're starting out. But God doesn't want you normal. He wants you Christ-like. He wants you to raise up your vision. He wants you to come up higher with Him and realize what His plan for your life is. His plan isn't just to make you a good person and make you normal and make you successful in this world. His plan is to make you into the very image of His Son and to fill you with the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave. That's his intention for your life. That's what his purpose is for your life. That's what his plan is for your life. So it's a shame. It really is hurtful, I believe, to the Lord and to me when you see people just satisfied. I got enough of God that my life is good. I got a good job. Things are going good. Susie isn't sick anymore. God did this for me. God did that for me. And we let our expectations somewhere down here instead of coming up. Remember John on the island of Patmos? Here he was on an island, exiled to an island, prison island. No way of getting off. But John said, when I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard the voice say, come up here. I got many things to show you. And I believe the Lord's saying that to you guys, come up here. God has so many things to show you. There's so much greater things. I love the story when of Nathanael. Nathanael was, where is that verse? Let's see if I can find it. I'll find it, don't worry. Actually, John chapter 1, verse 45, Philip went and found Nathanael, okay? And Nathanael was sitting under the tree, and Philip's all excited because he met Jesus. And he said, come, Nathanael, this is the Messiah, I'm telling you. And it's Jesus of Nazareth, and that's where Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And, you know, here again, our stinking thinking, what can I do? You don't understand. I'm going through a hard time today. I had a very difficult time. You know I'm not feeling well. You know this is happening. My husband did this. My wife did this. My kids did this. You know, it's just a bad day. You know, come another time. You know, and we're thinking, can anything good come out of me right now? Can anything good? And so I like what Nathanael, what Philip said. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Those are important words. Come and see. The Lord said, whosoever will come. You know, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But there's a coming. There's a coming out of. Yeah, I might feel terrible today. I might not feel well today. I might have a sickness, a legitimate sickness. But the Lord invites me to come out of that place. Come out of that place to a walk that I can walk in him by faith. To a walk that I can walk out the promises of God in my life. You know, things don't go in this world the way we want them always to go, do they? And we learn that. And the older we get, the more we learn that. And maybe that's why some of the childlike joy and grabbing hold of the world goes away. But in God, it never has to stop. His mercies are new every morning. There's a new horizon in God every day. Paul said, my outer man is perishing, but my inner man is being renewed day by day, every day. See, this is the kingdom. This is the opportunity we have to walk in. So Nathanael, you know, was told, hey, just come and see. So he comes and sees, and Jesus saw him coming and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, this is the same Nathanael that was just saying, yeah, right. Coming out of Nazareth, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. You know, he just had a bad attitude. He was just making fun of Philip. But Philip said, look, at least come and see. And so Nathanael came, and the Lord said, look, here's a man in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Here's a perfect example. He was sitting under the tree, minding his own business. Philip comes along and says, hey, I found the Messiah. He said, yeah, right. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. And Philip convinced him, at least just come and see. And the Lord began to speak. You know, when we come to the Lord, we begin to receive something from him. We allow him. We say yes to his ministry. We say yes to what he desires for our lives. And he began to speak into Nathanael and says, here's a man with no deceit. Because he came with no personal agenda. He had no other agenda. He had no other thing in his heart saying, yeah, right. You know, I'm just going to let him talk and then I'm going to just, you know, walk. No, he came with an open mind. He came willing to see. Are you willing to see what God has for you today? Are you willing to see? And here he came. And the Lord said, because of your willingness to see, because of your heart not being burdened down with all of the other stuff in your life, you're willing to come to me. There's no deceit. There's no agenda within you. He says, because of that positioning of yourself, he says, you're going to see greater things. I'm telling you, if we will just step out by faith, if we would just believe God and say, God, you know, I remember when we had a big thing in our church about speaking in tongues and not speaking in tongues. I kept saying, guys, what's the big deal? Go after Jesus. What are you going to make an issue out of something like that for? You know, go after Jesus. And yeah, I speak in tongues. And Apostle Paul said, I wish everybody spoke in tongues. But he said, it's more important to prophesy. It's more important that Jesus, you know, the spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's more important that we testify about Jesus. It's more important that we talk about Jesus. It's more, you know, we can shun the bundle. We can do all of that. I'm telling you, tongues is good. There's a benefit for it. I'm not going to teach on it today. But there's a benefit for it. But don't get tripped up with that. Run after Jesus. You know, we get so many things. Well, okay, well, I believe this is of God, and that's not of God, and this is of God. I'm telling you, just go after God. Go after him with a pure heart. If the word of God speaks it and says it, receive it. And because Nathanael had this mentality, he said, Nathanael, that's opening you up. That's positioning you to in a place that you're going to see even greater things. See, when we walk out what we know of God, it puts us in a place to see greater. You know, remember Elisha. He was prophesying. He was telling the king of Israel what the enemy was going to do. And therefore, the enemy got defeated every time. So the enemy king says, look, what's going on? We have a spy. And someone came up and said, no, it's not that. It's this guy, Elisha here. He's a prophet of God. And he tells the king of Judah what you're going to do before he even does it. So he says, I'll fix that. You go out there and get this guy. So to make a story short, every time he kept sending more and more and more men after him. And guess what? They go away blind. The Lord defeated them. So finally, as the story goes, what I want to talk about was when Elisha's servant went out. They heard somebody coming. Elisha's servant went out. And he looked. He said, uh-oh, now I don't know what's going to happen because there's so many. There's so many coming against us. Look at this big army. And Elisha said, Lord, please, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And when Elisha prayed that, Gehazi's eyes were open. And he saw the hills were all full of chariots of fire. He saw the angels of God all around them. Right? And all of a sudden he realized that those that are with us are greater than those that are with them. He opened his eyes to it. And I'm telling you, having that clear vision, hearing the voice of God, walking as the people of God, being willing to step out on what we hear and what we know and what we see, it unlocks the greater dimension of the kingdom of God for us to walk in. You will see greater things. You will see greater things when you begin to step out in faith and believe God and not sit back and say, okay, maybe someday, or wait till I see it happen. No, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The works that he created to do are in you. I'm going to close with this. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 4. That's the last chapter in the Old Testament. Some call it Malachi. That's the Italian charismatic movement. It's Malachi. Chapter 4. My Bible has the heading on it, The Great Day of the Lord. How many believe we're in the end times? I believe it. The end times. But how many know you've got a role bigger than you think to play in the end times? I see less hands going up. Who, me? I'm not qualified for that. Wait a minute. Where's your qualification come from? Anybody in here not received Jesus Christ as your Savior as of yet? You're just thinking about it. You heard it. Sounds like a good idea. Anybody not received Jesus yet? Be brave. Raise your hand. Okay. So I'm going to believe everybody in here is born again, right? Has Jesus in their heart, right? You have the biggest role to play in these end times, bigger than you'd ever know. But let's read this by the prophet Malachi. He said, "Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble." There's going to be judgment day coming. And those that are having their way, thinking that they're getting away with it, they're going to have their day. He says, "And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name," how many fear the name of the Lord? Come on, raise your hand. "To them who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." Now, that doesn't mean we're all going to get fat. That means we're going to enjoy the goodness and the blessing, right? "You'll all grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord." So remember he said, wherever you put the sole of your foot, I've given you that land. And we're talking about it's God's plan. And all we've got to do is step into it. That we're not disqualified because of how bad we think we are. We got Jesus in our life. We got faith in the Lord. We're willing to step out in God. We are qualified. Jesus is our qualifier. And when we are willing to step into that, it says, wherever you put the sole of your foot is yours. That's the promise of Abraham. That's the promise that came from the forefathers. That's the promise that is ours by faith in Christ Jesus. And now wherever we put the foot, and now we see here Malachi saying that in the day, in that dreadful day of the Lord is going to bring that judgment upon the unrighteousness, right, of this land. And then he goes and he says, "But not upon you, because the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And wherever you go, wherever you put the sole of your foot, you shall tread upon them." And it's our walking out. It's when we're willing and when we are taking and making the best of the opportunity of the presence of God in our life, of the redemption of the blood of the Lamb on my life and making me who I am, not who I used to be. And I'm willing to walk it out each and every day. It's important that we get up every day and say, "Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you were made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to be the best believer I've ever been." You know, a lot of times we give ourselves days off. And guess what? We've had too many days off. I'm going to wake up and just be grumpy today. I'm not even going to get dressed. I might even watch TV all day long, you know. And we don't even pay attention to God. I'm not saying you can't have rest. I'm just saying that you can't allow the enemy to lullaby us to sleep thinking that we're not important. What you have, getting yourself up, getting yourself into wherever God has placed you, whether in a job or whether in your home or whatever, and you stepping in there, knowing that God has placed you there, knowing that you're going to step into it by faith. And as we step into it, the kingdom of God is advanced. Your steps advance the kingdom of God. That's what happened with Abraham. Everywhere he went, the kingdom of God was advanced by his steps. The kingdom of God is advanced by your steps. He says, whenever you go, tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How did that happen? Because you're there and I'm in you. Do you believe it? So even in the end times, even bringing righteousness and even bringing justice into this land, it's going to be done by believers like you and I walking out what we know and we believe to be true in Christ Jesus. Stepping out, bringing the kingdom of God, bringing the heart of God. There's so many issues in our nation. There's so many things going on. There's so much craziness that people have taken liberty of. And the church has stepped back and hasn't had an answer because the church didn't understand that the answer isn't that we feel like we've got something to offer. The answer is Jesus Christ has offered something on the cross of Calvary for each and every circumstance, each and every situation. And all we are is ambassadors of him. And we're making the request to the people, hey, come to Jesus through us. It's come and see. Just like Philip, you know, was said to Nathaniel, hey, you know, can God do anything? Come and see. Come and hear. At least come with an open heart. At least come without deceit in your heart. At least come with a willingness to receive what God has for you and receive what he has and see what that can do. And all of a sudden now, it opens up a great opportunity for the kingdom of heaven to be advanced. The kingdom of heaven. God wants you to be kingdom advancers. And you are. You know, some people say, well, I got to stop smoking cigarettes first. Where does it say that? And I'm not going to get into all kinds of things that we disqualify, that the religious people of our day have disqualified people because we don't think they act like Christians ought to. I think we ought to put judgment aside and we ought to let the Lord take care of people's lives. We ought to let individual conviction of the Lord bring people into the character and the nature of Christ that they've been called to be. That's not our job. Our job is to bring the gospel message and to love them and say, hey, the kingdom is here. Philip didn't go to Nathaniel and say, okay, Nathaniel, but clean up your act now. You know, this is the Messiah. Clean yourself up now, you know. Get yourself, you sure you want to come like that? You know, no, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about his rotten attitude, not believing him and speaking derogatory, you know, about a people. Anything good come out of Nazareth? You want to talk about being racist? Judgmental towards people groups. Can anything good come out of there? But here, he wasn't told, look, you got to clean that stuff up. You just said, no, you got to come meet the Master. You got to come meet the Savior. You just got to come. Just come. Just come to the Lord. And come with an open heart. Just come believing. And because of that, the Lord met him and said, I want to show you some greater things. Greater, greater things. I want to show you some deliverance. I believe every issue and every problem that our nation faces that the church hasn't known what to do with for the last umpteen years, I believe as the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in our wings, that we'll go out and we'll be able to step forward. You know, we don't know. We don't have all the answers, but we got the one that does. And I want you to know, I don't disqualify you because of that. Come and see. Come and see the Master. Come and see the Savior. This is the one. This is the one that can touch and change your life. My confidence is in him. And we go out, right, with thanksgiving. We go out with praise. It was in Isaiah, it says, we shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth with singing. There'll be shouts of joy, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. The people will clap. I'm telling you, the world is looking for the Messiah. The world is looking for that true, authentic encounter with Jesus Christ, and it lies in you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And I believe it. There's no question about it, that if you come by faith, believing in God, that there's nothing impossible. That who knows what God will do. But we've got to step into the opportunity. It's been so real in my life. I've seen it so many times. I can sit here and tell you story after story of by just falling into opportunity that God brought my way that I wasn't even planning. You know, I went to get on an airplane years ago. And before I got to the airport, this was in L.A., Tammy called and said, "Hey, we got a good friend out there. He says he's got a book for you." He says, "You have to have it before you leave." I said, "Tammy, I'm on the way to the airport. You know, if you can tell Carl to meet me there as I'm going in, I can grab the book, but I don't have time to do anything else. I'm rushing to the airport." So sure enough, there was Carl, handed me this book. "Carl, love you. Hope to see you again." Got on the airplane. And I'm sitting reading this book. And wouldn't you know, I can't think of the name of the book. So I'm reading this book, Chuck Colson, called Loving God. And I'm reading this book, and in it is his account when he was in jail, right? And was at Watergate, in jail. And his account of being in jail and his recommendation of what's needed to bring prison reform. And I'm reading it, and the part that I'm on, it says that there's a lot of good things you can do, there's a lot of this, but you know, without a real encounter with Jesus Christ, there's no change of heart. Only Jesus can change the heart. So I'm reading this, but you know, all of a sudden, how many know we still got the human side of us? I had to go use the restroom. So I went to close the book and put it in the front seat there, and I felt the Spirit of God urge me to say, "No, I want you to leave it on the seat." So I left it on the seat, and I was still in business then, so I was flying first class. And the guy sitting next to me when I was at the restroom came back. He said, "Boy, that's an interesting title of a book." I said, "Yeah, it's this guy, Chuck Colson. This guy just gave," I told him the story about Carl giving me the book. And I said, and I'm reading here, and it's talking about prison reform. And it's talking about the necessity, the only way that a person can be reformed and changed is from the heart. And that takes an encounter with Jesus. And the guy said, "Who sent you?" I said, "What do you mean, who sent me?" I said, "I'm just here." I didn't even know enough to say God sent me. You know, at that time, I was busy. I was doing business. I was, you know. And he said, "Well, do you know who I am?" I said, "No, I don't know who you are. You're just some guy. I'm sitting beside an airplane." And he says, "Well," he says, "I'm so-and-so. I work for the federal government. And my job is prison reform." And I said, "Well, this book is for you. Here you go." And I talked to him, shared with him about Jesus and how, you know, the Lord kind of awakened me to the opportunity that I had now. And I shared with him about Jesus. And he was a solid Catholic, believed in God. But I shared with him John chapter 1, where, was it chapter 1? Yes, John chapter 1, around verse 40, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." That is huge, folks. There's a lot of people out there believing there's a God. And I'll do a little bit of penance. I'll do a little bit going to church. I'll even give in the offerings and whatever. I believe there's a God. But Jesus said that's not enough. You got to believe also in me. What was he saying? The Messiah, the sent one, God with us, right? The God that's with me every day, the God that changes my life, the God that transforms me, the God that brings through him. Jesus said, he went on to say, he said, you know, he said, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. many mansions, others say. And I go to prepare a place for you. There's a place for you in God's house. He's prepared it. That's his promise. And he says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and you can come with me. And you know where I'm going and you can come. And Thomas was there and he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we even going to think about knowing the way? And that's when the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I shared this with that man on the plane. And he walked away with an encounter with God. He walked away touching heaven that day because there was an opportunity that God gave. See, there's opportunities in your life. You just got to be awakened to them. You just got to be willing to step into them. You might say, well, who am I? You got Jesus in your heart. You said yes to Jesus. You had that revelation of him. He's touched your life. He's changed your life. You know, you may not be perfect. You know, people need to hear that message more than ever. You may not be perfect, but I'm trying and I'm in process and I'm living for Jesus. And I know that he's real. You see, for so many years, people want to, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm perfect. No, you're not. But you're in process, and people need the real you, the real testimony. And that opportunity is yours. So, there's good works for you, created by God, that you are to walk in. You are to make the opportunity of. And it will change your life. This morning, I'm going to finish with that. That's kind of what I didn't really have a set. In fact, I think I told you last night I was going to speak on something else. But it changed when I got up here. So this morning, I want you to know there's an opportunity here. You might have said, well, I've lived on the sidelines. I lived in kind of obscure, you know, I've got Jesus in my life, but I haven't really publicly professed it. You know, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal being confessed in heaven before the Father. You know, when there's need in your life, all of a sudden now, heaven's aware of it. So, but this morning, there's an opportunity for you to step out and to see the greater things. And if you believe in God for that, if you believe in God for greater, if you believe in God for more, and you're willing today to step out, I'd like you to come up front here and we're going to pray for you. Not me. It's the Lord that sent me. I don't have anything to offer you out of myself, but I'm going to give you Jesus. I'm going to believe today that he sent me here for this purpose. It's an opportunity. You see, we've been talking about opportunities today. And the opportunity we have is to step out in what he's doing today. Be quickened into the things of God. You might have feel kind of complacent or feel like, well, you know, I'm kind of waiting to see. I'm trying this Christian thing out and things really aren't going the way I want them to. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Opportunity is within you. Opportunity is before you today. Step out. Make those steps. And you know, I'm not worried if no one comes up here today or if all of you come up here today. I'm laying out the opportunity. And it's yours. And I'm telling you, the Lord says that every place that you put the sole of your foot, I'm going to give it to you. You're walking out today on healing and you put the sole of your foot in faith for that healing. You put the sole of your foot in faith for deliverance. Sole of your foot in faith for believing for the salvation of a loved one. You know, wherever you're willing to step into today, the Lord says, I'm giving it to you. And by faith, we're laying a hold of it. And we're believing and walking it in faith. Amen? So the opportunity is here. Come forward for prayer. You know, put some action to your faith. Believe God for his touch. Believe God for his anointing on your life. And we'll pray for you. and trust God in whatever He has for you. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right, we're with this thing, right? I haven't lullabied you to sleep. I hope not. But I know it did go a little bit long. But praise God. Come forward and see what the Lord has for you. Amen?
Can we unmute the keyboard, please?
Thank you.
was speaking today, and one of the thoughts that came to my mind of many is of the storm you see that night when the Apostle Peter wanted to see something greater and to experience something greater and to enter into something greater, encounter something greater. He had to step out and come towards Jesus. And it's fascinating because Jesus said in the old King James, bid him to come out and step out. And when he stepped out, he experienced something that no other man except for Jesus had experienced. We can look at Peter as sinking. I look at Peter as walking on the water with Jesus that night. Step out. And the word continues to us. The word was given to us today. Step out, just like Abraham. Wherever you set your foot, that land will I give to your descendants and your seed. Amen. God, thank you that you are the God of miracles. And God, we thank you, Father, for the word and the words that were given to us today, empowered by the Holy Ghost. And we trust, dear God, that those words would stir in our heart and stir our spirit to focus on the things of the kingdom of God and to set aside all that entangles and encumbers us and to strive forward, pressing on ahead for the mark, for the goal of the upward call of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you, Father, for being in this house today. You are our most honored guest and person in this house. And God, thank you for being with us today and allowing us to share in your presence and in your testimony and in your word today. That testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Well said. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. We want to just, before we dismiss you, one or two very important things. You may be seated if you're still standing. Once again, we want to first thank Pastor Pete and Pastor Tammy for being in the house today. We're just always honored to have you guys. Just really appreciate that and appreciate the relationship that the Lord has knit among all of us. So thank you. This week, the series will continue. This is going to be Wednesday the 4th, 6:30. Please join us for the next installment of The Dragon's Prophecy. Jonathan Kahn, hope you can make it. 20-30-somethings, here's an announcement for you. If you're in that age group and know someone that is, we'd just like to spend a couple minutes with you after the service on Sunday the 22nd. We're just going to ask you to hang around in here. We're going to ask you for 5 or 10 minutes of your time. Just really want to hear your hearts. That's all that's about. And to see what the Lord is doing, what the Lord is up to. And we ask that you just spend some. So please, set that on your calendar on the 22nd of December. If you're 20 or 30-something, hang around. We want to connect with you. Next, Phil Cappuccio, next Saturday. So you should have this on your calendar. We are so blessed not only to have our presbyter, Pastor Pete and Pastor Tammy with us today, but also Phil Cappuccio is going to be here next weekend. He'll be here Saturday morning. He'll be arriving at our house Friday night. But Saturday, the doors will open at 9 a.m. for the cafe, and then the teaching session, 9:30, will follow, and then we'll have a lunch. If you're going to be going to the lunch, please sign up in the foyer or let Pastor Sherry know by Wednesday so we can get an appropriate head count. Frankly, we want to see everybody there for this time together as well. We're going to be just really growing in the Lord. Whatever word he's going to be bringing, it's going to be powerful. I can assure you of that. And then on Sunday, he'll be bringing the morning service. We'll be taking a love offering for Pastor Phil. This is his livelihood. He does not hold a church currently. He goes around the country preaching and prophesying as well. So we will be taking a love offering for him next Sunday. Please prepare for that. Look at that. I got one going at home. Maybe you do too. I had to fire it up this week. Would you please stand? We will dismiss you. God, we thank you, Father, for the testimony of Jesus Christ once again. We thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you, Father, for your sending your only Son as our sacrifice. And God, our challenge today and our reminder today by the words that have been brought and by the word of God and by the imprompting of the Holy Spirit, that we would begin to step in and continue to step into the calling for which you have for each one of your sons and daughters. There is no exception. And God, may we remember that it's not about our power, but your power working through us that will change the world for the kingdom of God. We bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 We love you all. You are dismissed.